brought to you by Penguin.
Dresden by Sinclair Mackay, read by Leighton Pugh. Preface: The City in Time. By the castle wall and in the shadow of the Catholic cathedral, winter twilight can occasionally bring an arresting effect. If you glance around, it is possible, just for a fleeting moment, that you will find yourself alone. And here, in this triangle of cobbled paving and sculptured stone, the Schlossplatz, overlooked by the grand archway leading through to the castle courtyard, the church spire high and sharp against the amethyst sky, time can smoothly slip its moorings. If you are knowledgeable about the history of art, you might imagine yourself in the early 19th century, a figure frozen in a painting by the romantic artist Caspar David Friedrich, who lived in Dresden and depicted its steeples and domes, suffused in a lemon sunlight. You might allow yourself to roam yet further back, inhabiting a richly detailed Bellotto landscape. He too was drawn to the architectural elegance, the wide market squares and beautiful proportioned houses and civic buildings of the city in the 18th century. Stand there long enough, and there will be the music that those artists heard too, the bells of the cathedral. They strike with some urgency and clamour, and with a deeper resonant note that sounds like anger. And it is in this near discordancy that the more recent, terrible past is also summoned, unbidden. Many who stand or walk here now cannot help imagining, even for a moment, the bass drone of the aeroplanes overhead, the sky bright with green and red marker flares, and then roaring flames in the gutted cathedral rising ever higher. Such visions are not confined to this one spot. Just a few yards from this square is the elegant terrace that overlooks the River Elbe and its curiously wide banks. Now, as then, this stone walkway stretches along to the Academy of Arts with its glittering glass dome. Just as with the Catholic Cathedral, any stroll along here somehow takes place in two different time streams. You are there, in the present, gazing along the curving valley of the Elbe, and at the same time you are seeing, against the clear, cold night sky, the hundreds of bombers swooping in from the west. You envisage the terrified crowd of people around you, trying to escape the furnace flare heat, making, as if by instinct, for the river. This is the macabre truth of Dresden. Every vision of beauty carries a split-second awareness of the most terrible violence. All visitors to this city will have felt that momentary dislocation. Unease would be the wrong word. The sensation is not ghostly, but there is a sharp cruelty about the juxtaposition of the fairy tale architecture and the knowledge of what lies beneath it. And, of course, illusion is built upon illusion, for much of the fairy tale architecture we see today was previously obliterated in the cataclysm. It should not be possible to see the city that expressionist artist Konrad Felixmüller sketched so wittily in the 1920s, to gaze upon the stone and glass that Margot Hiller, the 17-year-old apprentice brewery worker in the west of the city, would have seen on her way home from work throughout the war in the mid-1940s, or to see the comfortable bourgeois world that Dr. Albert Frommer and the Isaacovitzes and Georg and Marilyn Erler moved through at the beginning of the century. The smart restaurants, the opera house, the exquisite galleries. It should not be possible to see any of these things, because in just one night, on the 13th of February 1945, just weeks before that war ended, 796 bomber planes flew over that square and that city, and, in the words of one young witness, opened the gates of hell. In the course of that single infernal night, an estimated 25,000 people were killed. Dresden has been rebuilt, slowly and not without difficulties and conflicts. The minutely detailed restorations have been married with sensitive modern landscaping, so that the new buildings on the market squares are not immediately obvious.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?